Next presentation, thanks so much, Alita, that was great. Next presentation is building research capacity in AIDS service organizations to enhance HIV prevention efforts for young men, or young men who have sex with men. Jimena Lovelock, who is president and CEO of HIV/AIDS Resource in Ypsilanti, Michigan, will be presenting along with her colleague Emily Pingle, who is the managing director of the Center for Sexuality and Health Disparities at the University of Michigan School of Public Health. Thanks.
Thank you, Brian. Hi, everybody. I'm so pleased to be here with Emily to tell you a little bit about the work we've been doing through a collaborative research partnership and as the director of a community-based AIDS service organization to hopefully give you the perspective from the community as well. We have no conflicts to disclose or report. This is what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to talk a little bit about the principles of community-based participatory research, which probably many of you are familiar with. We're also going to highlight one of the projects that we've been working on the last couple of years, which is United for HIV Integration and Policy. We'll share with you the mutual benefits of a community academic partnership to refine HIV and STI prevention services. Certainly, we're going to talk about some of the challenges we've experienced in this joint research effort between an elite institution like the University of Michigan and a small community-based organization. And we will also share with you some of the strategies we've used for disseminating our research findings, as well as talking about kind of the future of our community academic partnership. So in looking at some of the principles about community-based participatory research. Again, I know many of you are familiar with this concept, but for an organization like the HIV/AIDS Resource Center, otherwise known as HARC, these principles are particularly important because we are an organization that's rooted in the community. We don't have research in our mission statement, yet we know that it's critical for us to be able to provide effective services. And as we saw a rising rate of HIV infection among young MSM, we were really struggling with how to respond and how to do that in a way that was more data-driven from local data, from our local community of young MSM. And so this relationship really started out of us approaching the University of Michigan and really being involved in formulating a lot of those research questions that we wanted to address and how we could address them together. So these principles are particularly important. Obviously, CBPR recognizes the community as a unit of identity. Sorry about that. It builds on the strengths and resources within the community. We definitely wanted to think about a strength-based approach. It also facilitates collaborative and equitable involvement of all partners in all phases of research, and we have been involved in all phases of research, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. And obviously, it integrates knowledge and intervention for mutual benefit of all partners. We all come to the table with great knowledge and expertise, and I think it's really important that everyone respect that and be willing to share that. Certainly, we have promoted a co-learning and empowering process that's not just for myself, for example, as the president and CEO of the HIV/AIDS Resource Center, but also for our staff to learn more about how they can use research on a day-to-day basis to enhance the services they're providing and how they can use the data that we've been able to collect. It involves a cyclical and iterative process. It addresses health from both positive and ecological perspectives. Disseminates findings and knowledge gained to all partners, so we're happy to share the information that we've gathered with you, but more importantly, share it with our community members and our young men who have sex with men who live in our community. And of course, it involves long-term commitment by all partners, and I think we've worked together for years, and we certainly envision a future of continuing to work together to improve services.
All right. So in 2010, the MAC-AIDS Fund and the Ford Foundation awarded us funding for the UHIP project, which involved a collaboration between the Center for Sexuality and Health Disparities and four community-based organizations in the Detroit metro area, and that would be HARC, AIDS Partnership Michigan, the Ruth Ellis Center, and Detroit Latinos. So together we designed a mixed method study examining structural factors shaping HIV risk among young MSM in Detroit. Through our partnership, we were able to root this study in an issue that's really of great concern to community members, and we were able to get people's input from all sides throughout each step of the process. So the goals of the UHIP project were ultimately to use these mixed method data to identify opportunities for policy change and to formulate recommendations for targeted structural interventions, to disseminate our findings to key stakeholders at the local, state, and national levels, and to capacitate our community partners in various research skills such that our partnership would generate sustainability. We conducted 50 in-depth interviews with key stakeholders in the Detroit metro area, and these individuals were identified as either working with MSM, working in the field of HIV, or both. And then in addition to that, we conducted a survey of 429 young MSM in the Detroit metro area and between the ages of 18 and 29. So we've presented the results of this study elsewhere, so I'm just going to take a brief moment to basically just give you a snapshot of our findings. And as you see here, the structural factors shaping HIV risk that were most often identified by stakeholders included economic disadvantage, weak social support networks, homophobia, HIV/AIDS stigma, a struggling education system, unemployment, and housing issues. In our survey, young MSM themselves also reported multiple barriers to accessing HIV services, including medical mistrust, fear of discrimination, and a lack of transportation. So in year two of the UHIP project, we shared these results with all the stakeholders that we interviewed, as well as with the organizations and institutions with which they were affiliated, and we had numerous town hall-style meetings with groups of youth in the Detroit metro area, medical providers, and funders, among others.
So how do we take the data to programs? Some of the key things that we've learned from our research, and Emily highlighted those, we're really trying to make happen in our community. So greater focus on peer-led programs, and we developed a campaign called Status Sexy, which I'll talk about in a minute, that's very much peer-developed and peer-driven. Looking at developing more LGBT and youth-specific clinical services, and particularly consolidating and collaborating more. I think a lot of the young MSM that responded to these surveys talked about how difficult it was to have to go from place to place for different services, and that it seemed like we as service providers weren't working together. In addition, as Emily mentioned, medical providers that really had cultural competency that they could develop a trusting relationship with lacking. And now in the Detroit area, we're talking a lot more about how to develop those clinical services. We also talked more about the LGBT training that needs to happen, particularly when we look at the schools, and certainly Detroit has a struggling school system as well as many others in Michigan given our economic condition. Sex ed in Michigan is offered, it's offered by law, but many, again, of our respondents were saying that sex ed was really not very helpful for them because it didn't reflect their sexual identity and who they were. So through a Detroit collaborative called Connect to Protect, there's more education going on that's specific, LGBT-specific in the schools. And then we're also starting a new initiative called Get Connected, which is really addressing the provider aspect and creating a guide to help young MSM find open and accepting services when they're looking at HIV testing and STI screening. So Status Sexy, if I can just spend a minute highlighting that. It's a great community mobilization campaign that HARC developed in collaboration with AIDS Partnership Michigan, which is the largest AIDS service organization in Detroit. And really, the campaign started in 2010, so even before all of this UHIP data was completed. We wanted to develop a campaign that would increase HIV testing among young African American MSM and decrease stigma as well, and something that would be very tailored to that specific population, with the idea that knowing your status is always sexy. Some of the features of the campaign were that it was low cost. We did get funding from the Michigan Department of Community Health. I think it was about $300,000, which may sound like a lot, but when you're doing a marketing and media campaign, it doesn't go that far. So we really had to be very effective in the use of our resources. It was youth directed, so it was really developed with focus groups that were taking youth input, as well as getting youth involved in implementing the campaign itself. In addition to posters and palm cards, we had a lot of giveaways because that was very popular. So we had bracelets and condom tins and mints and all kinds of things that were distributed at different outreach settings and testing events. We had peer educators, young MSM that were trained to be peer educators, as well as incorporating our paid outreach workers that were on staff between our two organizations to spread the campaign message. And a website as well was developed to really promote not only HIV testing location, but exchange of ideas and networking. Some of the things that I think really have been keys to our success is that we really worked as a true collaborative. We, APM and HARP, worked together to do joint outreach and testing events, kind of sending the same message. We had planning and advisory groups in our communities of young MSM that helped design our implementation of the campaign and different elements of the campaign. We also had those peers trained. We called them the sexy team, so they would go out and do the outreach and implement some of the campaign through testing events as well. And building on the Facing AIDS campaign that many of you are probably familiar with, we also developed Status Sexy model idea. So here you can see one of the young men posing. Really branding the campaign was very important, as well as innovative use of social media and ongoing evaluation. And here's just a snapshot of some Facebook information that we have, as well as a very cool idea, which was to develop your own Status Sexy avatar and to have people share that through their social media networks. Also, in 2012, we were able to purchase a new mobile unit, which you see pictured there, which allows us to expand our HIV testing and, in collaboration with our local health department, do more STI screening. And we've been able to expand our sites to reach more young MSM, as well as looking at Medicaid and other insurance enrollment. We've also used the data to help us implement a new intervention called Healthy Relationships for HIV-positive MSM. And we have also expanded our collaborations with youth-focused organizations to help us reach young people and provide HIV testing on-site at different organizations like runaway and homeless shelters and teen health centers. And of course, we constantly are sharing the information that we've learned with our collaborative partners and other community groups and professional networks. And that's been one of the amazing things about this collaboration as well, the opportunities that we've had as a community-based organization to be involved in presenting and publishing our work. So some of the lessons learned, strengths of our collaboration. There are a lot of strengths of our collaboration. And certainly, first and foremost, we have many energetic members who are very committed and passionate to what we do. And that certainly drives us and has helped us weather some of the challenges. We also bring together many diverse stakeholders and populations, whether it's our staff, whether it's the people that receive our services, our community members. We certainly bring all of that to the table as well. We also have the ability to do advocacy. So as we've gotten more into some of the policy issues, which we hope to focus on more, really getting our young people involved in those advocacy efforts has been really important. And that's one aspect also that we've really been committed to doing. The research capacity certainly has increased among our organizations. I think, as I say, not only for myself, but our staff, really getting to know the role we can play in research, how we can be involved in sharing that expertise to do everything from, you know, recruit study participants to design interview tools, to even look at the qualitative data and decide on coding themes. All of that has been incredible capacity building experience for our organization. And not to mention, when we write grants or when we're advocating for certain services, certainly it makes us look a lot stronger when we can say, this, we're basing this on local data. This is data from our community. We're not using data from other places. This is from our community. The U of M affiliation, the University of Michigan affiliation, certainly is a strength. Obviously, we have amazing resources at that institution and expertise. And also, a really key part is that as a community-based organization, we have been able to receive funding to recognize us for our time and our efforts in furthering this research. So that's also brought many different resources to the organization. And certainly another strength is all of the HIV expertise that we bring to the table, whether from an academic perspective or from a community provider perspective. So some of the challenges of our community, of our collaboration, have to do with the funding and sort of sustaining our interventions. How do we do that? As well as looking at some of the structural factors when it comes to new funding. So who's going to be the lead agency? We have a lot of those conversations when we're looking at new projects because the University of Michigan has a very high indirect rate. If it comes through a community-based organization, a lot more of those resources can go directly to the community. So how do we sort of navigate that? Certainly organizational capacity. This takes a lot of time and effort, and we all wear a lot of different hats and have a lot of different roles. So being able to find the time to really devote to this effort. And then I know I'm running out of time, so I'm going to quickly just say the challenge also, just skipping down to the U of M affiliation, as it's a wonderful, positive thing, the challenge also is that there's a lack of trust often with community members when you bring in a large academic institution to do research. And that certainly has been something that we've had to work on, building that trust and building those relationships.
And I'm just going to wrap up really quickly. We can also talk about this during the Q&A. So we have several different directions that we're going with our academic community partnership. Basically, we're doing an evaluation of status sexy. We have a CDC-funded intervention linking STI and HIV testing services for young MSM in Southeast Michigan. It's called Get Connected. And we're also bringing the Global AIDS Stigma Index, which has not yet been implemented in the United States, and Detroit will be one of the first sites. And it was really through the efforts of our community partners that we were able to bring that into Michigan. And finally, we've just been asking ourselves a lot of different questions about where do we go in the future? Do we include other community partners? How do we share data with others? And sort of different things like that that we'd also be happy to discuss. So thank you so much.